Keith Peters reporting.
A Massachusetts library is reminding residents that Chuck E. Cheese tokens are not an acceptable form of payment for overdue book fines. Peabody Institute Library in Danvers says they're getting a lot of those lately. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Evil. There are people in this country who are evil to the core. They are violent and hateful and will not reason or debate. This evil drives them to violence with whomever they disagree. They will invade peaceful gatherings with the sole purpose of perpetrating violence and injury, then blame their actions on the peaceful. We can no longer trust politicians or the media to acknowledge the truth, so we must know how to discern good from evil. This wisdom is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jefferson. Hey, we're alive and well here in this wonderful state of Jefferson, soon to be hopefully Northern California. Are we sounding a little tinny here?
You're not. Try speaking more directly into the microphone.
Hello? Is it not working?
Doesn't seem to be. Here, get on mic two instead. I think the smoke got to it.
I think the smoke's getting to everybody. Oh, right. There you go.
That's much better.
Much better. Don't sound like I'm standing, talking out of a tin can as badly. Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody in Jefferson. Welcome aboard. And we're Labor Day weekend here. Tomorrow, Labor Day. Celebrate the best way we know how and honoring everything that needs to be happening within our country and especially here in the North State. Wild and crazy stuff going on. So hope everybody's able to do what's special to them on Labor Day. My co-host Terry is going to be out today. He and his lovely wife Sally are down, way down south in Southern California, celebrating their 41st wedding anniversary. So good luck to them and wish them well and safe travels and so forth. We'll have Mark.
Happy anniversary, Terry and Rally Sally.
Yes. And then we have Mr. Bob Martin here keeping us out of trouble today. We got stuff going on. It's kind of crazy.
I got the fire extinguisher standing by.
We're going to probably, the way things have been going this morning so far. How's everybody doing out there in the smoke? Enjoying that? Can you chew on it? Well, I have an alternative for you. How about you go up the Intermountain Fair, which is northeastern Shasta County up in MacArthur. That's held every Labor Day weekend. And my understanding is the 99th year of that fair. That's my hometown fair. And it's a beautiful place up there. And I was up there yesterday spending some quality time with my dad. And the smoke was way off in the distance, way off in the distance. You didn't smell it. You didn't taste it. And it was very nice. So if you want to have a good escape, go up there. It's a beautiful drive. As soon as you get out of the smoke, it's a beautiful drive. And it's a nice place to go. You know, $5 admission for an adult to get into the fair and go hang out and eat fair food, see some family and friends up there. You may bump into people you know. You never know what's going to be happening. Go see the livestock. Go to the carnival if that spins your tires. Go check out the art buildings and all that other good stuff. It's a fun place to go, and I suggest everybody go check it out. I'm going to mention about the Harvest Moon Liberty Fest that we're going to be having here on October 7th. And that's going to be at the Anderson River Park Amphitheater. And that will be starting around 2 p.m. and it will run until about 8 p.m. And what it is, it's going to be music and all kinds of fun stuff going on there. And it's going to be helping to, and all the monies raised for that are going to help the Citizens for Fair Representation for the lawsuit, which in a sense is the state of Jefferson. So all proceeds go to the CFR. And so we just want to encourage everybody to put that on the calendar. I know it's a little bit off, but you know, you're looking at it this way. It's only about a month away, so why not put it on the books now, and then you'll be ready to go when the time comes. And you can go check it out. It'll be free admission. And then all you do is you pay for whatever you consume there. So that's how it's going to work. We'll talk about more about that later as we proceed towards the end of the calendar and into that event. I just want to encourage everybody to also keep in mind that this Friday, the 8th, we're going to be down in Sacramento. And we're going to be with our attorneys at the courthouse at 501 I Street at the Robert Matsui Federal Courthouse Building, 15th floor, and I believe it's courtroom 3 is the one we're going to be at, and unless things change between now and then on which courtroom we'll be in. But we'll be on the 15th floor, and we'll be finding out what's really going to be happening with our court case, the process, and where we go from there. So for those who are interested, we welcome everybody to come and participate, be a body, be counted, be there. Keep in mind, not everyone is going to be able to fit into the courtroom. The courtroom itself is very small. Our understanding is that it holds about 55 to 58 people, something like that. But the volume of people will be felt in the corridor, in the building, wherever, you know, people will see outside on the front steps, what have you. Come and be part of this. This is history in the making. Never been done before, and we want to make sure everybody gets to participate that wants to participate. So please come check it out, and hopefully we'll see you there. And the court begins at 10 a.m. That's our understanding. Keep in mind there are several dockets on the court, so we don't know where in the system yet where we fall. There could be anywhere from 1 to 9, 10, however many court hearings are going to have that day. So we're just at the mercy of the court, so we just get to listen and find out where we're going to be and when we'll be. I'm assuming we'll find out either the night before or that day, that morning, but we have to be there at 10 o'clock anyway. So I just want to let you know that. And then if for donations, we're asking people to continue to donate, if you would, please. You can make contributions to SOJ Formation if you send a check, money order, what have you. And you can mail it to P.O. Box 751 Palisadro 96073. And then also you can either pay on the PayPal account that we have, and also the GoFundMe account for State of Jefferson. So there are different ways of doing that. And then also, if you're in different counties, or even in a local county of Shasta County, you can also contribute by giving the monies to the committee leaders, and they will get the money to the fund. So just want to let you know that there are different ways of doing it. And we invite everybody to come in, participate, and get involved. We've got to have skin in the game, so we want everybody else to see what your line in the sand, as Mark always says. What's your line in the sand? What are you willing to stop them at? So come contribute, join the group, be with us, and see how it goes and where we go from here. Also want to make sure that we... Just a moment. Okay. So we have Mark on the line then?
Yes, we do. We also have a second caller there. I'll find out what that individual is calling about momentarily, but we do want to bring Mark Baird on right now.
Okay. Let's bring Mark on since he's able and willing to work with us. We'll get him on the air quickly. So, good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, Lynn. How's it going today?
So far, so good.
Oh, that's good. No, I heard you talking about the court case. That's it, guys. If you want to win this thing, we need to show up. It's crunch time. We need to show up. We need a win on the 8th. We need to show up. We have the paperwork. We have the evidence. We have everything we need. And once we win on the 8th, we'll start building the merits case. So we're going to need all of your anecdotes, all of your stories about calling representatives and being told that they don't meet with constituents and all of the things that the state of California is specifically doing to you. Those are the stories we need to start to gather after the 8th. So be thinking about that. Start writing them down. And I know you have another caller, so I will shut up for a minute.
All right. Mark is going to go on hold, and we'll take the other caller real quick, Bob.
Okay. I'm not quite ready for the other caller yet. But, Mark, tell you what, why don't we go ahead and take our first break here, and then we'll come back with more of Mark Baird, and we'll find out what that second individual wants. So, again, Wynn Carpenter, your host this morning on Jefferson State of Mind. Terry and Sally are away celebrating their, what did you say it was, their 41st wedding anniversary?
That's my understanding, the 41st, yep.
All right, so congratulations, you two. And as for the state of Jefferson, did you mention it's the fourth anniversary of the Jefferson movement, the modern Jefferson movement?
Well, we were going to get to that. And
it's
there.
Anyway, we want to kick off the music with...
Know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California. A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
My ocean delay,
So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Everybody wants to rule the world. Well, it's a fight. We're not going to be ruled or subject.
That's bad in North Korea, for one.
Yeah. Little Kim Jong-un needs to be poked down with a big giant stick. So we'll get him.
Yeah, he set off an H-bomb for laughs this weekend.
Oh, wonderful. He's prime example of somebody who was never put over somebody's knee, you know? you just wonder, okay, what the heck happened there? It all fell apart. Entitlement gets you to that point.
I have theories, most of which I can't discuss on the air.
Oh, come on, Bob. We'll take turns pushing the button.
It has to do with inbreeding.
No doubt. Okay.
Anyway, Mark is with us.
Okay. Hey, Mark, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. It's going. It's so smoky out here, I can't see far enough to tell you how it's going, but can't breathe either. But anyway, it's going.
All
so
right.
California is burning again, and here we are again, trying to find out why our representation is not adequate for the people they're supposed to serve.
Well, do you know what? It all stems back to a certain date that you were heavily involved with, September 3rd of 2013. Can you give us a lowdown on what happened that date?
Yeah, I can. I think that was the day we went into the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and we pointed out that we don't have any voice in Sacramento, and we asked the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors to help us by declaring to the state of California that they want to withdraw and separate from the state of California to form the 51st state of Jefferson. And that was the first declaration we had. And that resulted from a speech that Stan Statham, the guy who was instrumental in the 1992 effort, and a bunch of us got together and decided we were going to make this thing go this time, and we weren't going to quit until we had an answer out of them. And we weren't going to quit until we got yes for an answer, basically. And here we are. Gosh, I can't even believe it's 4 years and 21 counties down the road, and we're about to walk into federal court and hand the state of California their hat.
Well, you know, that's pretty quick time turnaround, given, you know, the circumstance of all the work that's been done by all the patriots that want to get this taken care of and put to bed. I mean, we want to make this happen. And with all the people that you have that are volunteering, we don't have any paid staff. We don't have anybody that we're paying to do this work, to put all this stuff together so that we can get it toward the court case.
You know, it's funny. It doesn't seem like it's been a short period of time to me. It seems like it's been forever to me. I don't know. Call me crazy, but it seems like we've been involved in this just forever and ever and ever, and it's finally, we're finally getting to the point where we're going to get a victory. if the court follows the law, which everybody, that's a big if, and that's why we need you all to show up. We need the public to be staring at that court to force them to follow their conscience and follow the law. Because courts ignore people all the time. I mean, let's face it, how much injustice is there in the United States? A lot. And a lot of it is because courts go places where they're not supposed to go. And we're hoping that if enough people show up on the 8th, and I'm telling you right now, it's going to be boring. There isn't going to be any testimony. It's going to be judges and lawyers arguing about different stuff. And most of us will be standing out in the hall. We won't even get to go in the courtroom. But we got to be there because we got to make this statement to the court that the people of this nation are watching what they do, and they'll be held accountable for what they do. And following the law is their only mandate, and it's a mandate they had better obey. So that's why it's so important for people to show up. Now, if we walk out of the courtroom on the 8th with a victory, which I fully think we will. I really do. For the first time in Jefferson, I have a feeling that it's our moment now and we're going to win this thing. If we walk out of court with a victory on the 8th, that means that the state of Jefferson's lawsuit will end up in the United States Supreme Court. That's huge. That's probably the least corrupt court in the country. And we can at least hope for justice in the United States Supreme Court, whether we get it in federal court or not. Now, if we really succeed to the level that some people think we will, we'll get a summary judgment out of the 3-judge court. That means we'll whip California without having to go to the Supreme Court. And do you know what that means? The state has not argued that you have enough representation. They've never said that. All they're saying, this is all they have, that maybe we don't have enough representation, but all of you are screwed equally, so there's nothing the court can do about it. So that's why we need your individual stories, so that we can select 2 or 3 of the best ones to show that representation is not general, it's individual. What the state of California would have you believe is that, I think Scott coined this phrase, he called it virtual representation, where you have this magic legislative body and they're doing the best they can for all of us collectively, and, you know, sometimes they hit the ball out of the park, but most of the time it's just kind of there, and we all gain collectively from that. But I'm sorry, that is not what the founders of this nation or the founders of this state intended, and it's not what the Supreme Court has reaffirmed in case after case after case after case. Representatives, according to Abbott versus Evenwell, are responsible to represent all of the people in their district. So if there are districts where people are being hammered by state government, that's not a general harm. That's an individual harm. If you're being taxed in a way that people in the city aren't being taxed, that is not a general harm. That's an individual harm. If you go to call your representative and he says, oh, I don't meet with my constituents, well, you're left there wondering, well, who do you meet with? And the answer is he meets with the money, because that's how he gets elected. If we have a state where we have 100% of the people who are eligible to register to vote, and 140% of that number registers to vote, well, something is wrong here. And that's not a general harm. That's an individual harm, because according to another Supreme Court case, you have a material interest to maintain the value of your vote, not everybody's vote, your vote. And your vote is an individual exercise of liberty that you are guided by your conscience and you deliberate over and you struggle over in the hope that it'll make your and your family's life better. That's an individual harm, folks. And if you don't show up on the 8th, that tells me you don't care. And if you don't care, get out of the way, because there are people that do care enough about this to do something. Please be one of those people. If you can't come because of work or commitments, I get it. Contribute instead. Write letters, make phone calls, do emails. In other words, I'm not asking every single person in Northern Jefferson to show up to court. I realize that's impossible. But if you can't show up in other ways. And we need at least a couple of hundred people to physically show up to the courthouse to send the message to the judge that we are paying attention. Be respectful. Be polite. There's no call for our opinion to be made public that day. That's not the day for that. there is a dress code, no flip-flops, no short pants, no hats, no sunglasses, no food, no drinks other than bottles of water. What's that? Oh, yeah, no nasty words on your T-shirts. That was another one of the dress code. You know, I mean, here's how far the state has gone. There is no free speech in court, so don't put it on your T-shirt. But we had all better show up, because if we don't show up, we're going to lose. And if we do show up, we're going to win. It's as simple as that.
Well, and that's the beauty of it, too. If you show up, you're showing support that there's a line in the sand that you don't want somebody to cross. And you're out there fighting for it. I mean, everybody that lives here in the 21 counties, and actually 23 counties, truly, if the other two counties finally get their acts together. But the other counties, I mean, all the counties, every county in the state of California, somebody should be there. Because they're all, as somebody else put it, they're equally screwed. Well, how does that work? Okay, so if everybody's equally screwed, then why don't they fix it? If it's that bad, and they know it, and they're acknowledging it, they're aware of it, and it's just, oh, tongue-in-cheek, oh, yeah, that's just the way it is. No, that isn't just the way it is. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed immediately. And it needs to be fixed correctly. And that's the thing that bothers me the most. It's like, well, how do you justify that? Mm-hmm. You can't justify it. And then also, if you pay the fire tax, if any person anywhere pays a fire tax, you need to have your fanny down there showing support. Good Lord, they're taking it from you. They're taking money directly out of your pocket. That's just one of the many ways they're doing it. But everybody complains about it. But this is one way we can work on it. This is one way we can deal with it. So hopefully people will get that figured out. What about the DMV mileage tax? They're going to start hitting us with that at some point. How's that going to work? Especially for all the rural communities. You know, I grew up in a small town. I grew up in MacArthur, which is northeastern Shasta County. So it's 75 miles away from Redding, up in the hills. You know, if I still lived there and had to travel back and forth to Redding for anything, which a great many people up there do, they're going to be paying through the nose for that that DMV mileage tax. How's that going to work? Plus which, the fuel tax on top of it, that they have to burn fuel to come down the hill and go back up. How does that work?
So, well, there are a few more. I mean, they're talking about taxing tap water now, for gosh sake.
Yes, that's, I saw that too.
The assembly gun apocalypse, they called it a year or two ago. And now all of those things are going to hit bottom. You're not allowed to have a semi-automatic rifle with a detachable magazine. You're not allowed to buy ammo on the Internet starting in January. You have to pass a background check to buy a box of 22 rounds so you can go out with your kids and grandkids and plink at tin cans. You can't transport ammunition across state lines. So if you live in Siskiyou County, you're not allowed to buy your ammo at Sportsman's Warehouse in Medford, where it's cheap anymore. You know, you have to drive 2.5 hours south to another big city or something. I mean, these things are, this state is the craziest. You know, it's funny. People in other states are laughing at us. They laugh at the way California is governed, and they think that all Californians are cut from the same cloth. They think they're all San Franciscans who allow homeless people to poop in the road because they want their city to be inclusive. I mean, you know, folks, this is getting bad enough. The drive-by-the-mile thing, the SRA fire fee, which we finally got rescinded, but it was turned into a tax on your homeowner's insurance. So, you know, this state and your, quote, representation, they're out of control. I mean, if you, the people, voice your displeasure with them about the SRA fire fee, and we funded Howard Jarvis's taxpayers' lawsuit against them, well, they say, oh, that's okay, we'll just tax you exactly the same way but in another area, and you're so stupid you won't recognize it, or we found a way to tax you that you can't overturn. We'll just charge your insurance company the money, and then they'll turn around and charge you. Well, that's what cap and trade is. I mean, all products are derived from carbon, all products on Earth. They're either derived from it, or they get transported with it, or they pass through it in some way or another. So cap and trade is a tax on every single person who has to buy a product, because do you honestly think manufacturers, transporters, and so on are just going to eat that cost? Do you think they have a little treasure box of secret money that every time the state sticks them in the back with another tax, they just say, oh, well, we can't pass this along to the consumer. That wouldn't be right. I mean, please, grow up. Are you looking at your life and asking yourself, gosh, I just can't remember when things were this expensive? I mean, you're paying more than a buck a gallon more money for gasoline than the rest of the United States is. Is no one awake to that? You have school teachers in Los Angeles that are teaching kindergartners about the transgender lifestyle. Are people asleep to those things? I mean, you know, come on, folks. This is our chance. Let's wake up and let's do the right thing here.
Amen. Well, and two, also, you think about, like, the voter accountability that they just discovered, but they put out to public anyway. There were 11 or 12 counties within the state that had more registered voters than they did have age-appropriate voting people residing in their county. And
right.
We have one of those amongst us. That is Lassen County. Well, you would think the Lassen County citizens would hightail it down to Sacramento on Friday and be there because they're done with it. They don't want this to happen because now that truly tells all those citizens that live over there that their votes don't count.
Oh, we have them in Siskiyou County, too. They're the people that vote twice. They're mostly dope growers. And they came up here and registered to vote in a place where they have no residence, they have no domicile, they have no improved property, and they registered to vote because they wanted to change the pot laws in Siskiyou County so they could engage in commercial marijuana grows here. A lot of them vote in Sacramento where they live, they vote in Fresno County, they vote in Michigan and Minnesota and North Carolina and Minneapolis and all those places, and then they come to Siskiyou County and they register to vote here too. So they're voting twice. And here's the deal. The Secretary of State knows about this. And I can tell you, I can't tell you how I know because that wouldn't be good for me, but I can tell you that I know for a fact the Secretary of State knows this and has done nothing.
So that's why we need to be able to have people at the court supporting this, being there, being a voice by being there. And, you know, you can talk to anybody. You can, you know, that's the beauty of it. We're in a free country still, and we're able to do certain things still. So why not make sure that we exercise those rights and privileges that we have and know what they are? Get versed on what you're able to do. Understand what you're able to do and know what you can do and be careful and selective on what you do and how you do it because you don't want to cause yourself or the movement or anybody else any harm. But at the same time, you want to make sure that the word is out there. And we need the support. You need the support. I mean, if you can't just sit on the sidelines and just wait for it to happen, wait for all the other people that are working tirelessly to get this movement up and running and going and getting the court case won and going to the Supreme Court. You can't just sit on the sidelines just watching that happen. I mean, why would you do that? Why not be an active participant in any way possible? And that's what I mean. You don't have to be doing all the stuff that we do, but we need people to help. We need people to support. And it's really important that people do that and they understand what's going on and get versed on what's going on with Jefferson and what it's all about and what's going on with CFR, which is Citizens for Fair Representation, which is the legal entity for the lawsuit. So people need to understand all that. They need to get versed on it and not just assume that they know, because there's a lot of information that you have to understand so you do know what's going on. And we want to make sure that we help to educate the best way we can by the educations we've received from the whole process. Bob, you have something else? Okay, we need to... hey, Mark, can you hold on for a moment? We need to go off to our next break.
Yep.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you.
By the way, I'll sneak in here that caller we had earlier who didn't wish to come on the air, one of our regular listeners, Fred, has a couple of extra tickets or tickets that he can't use for the Intermountain Fair either today or tomorrow. As soon as we get a line freed up here, I'll tell you what, you can call in on the business line at 605-4565 if you would like two tickets to the Intermountain Fair for today or tomorrow, and we will give you Fred's number. Time has come for 51.
Amen.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds Thursday, September 7th in Overtime Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a fun night of music with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, and Bobby Veramontes on drums. That's 6:30 to 8:30 September 7th. And there's free slot play for those who come to the show in Overtime. That's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, August 7th from 6:30 to 8:30 in Overtime Lounge. See you there.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipe sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night, it goes on and on.
Stranger searching in the shadows, and that's what we're all doing. Hey, I want to put a quick call out to, this was an idea that Mr. Frank Rose, who he's our keeper of the gate for the radio station on Sunday mornings, great veteran, he came up, he said, you know, this is what they did years ago for a veteran issue down in the courts, down in Sacramento. Put an all call out to all the vets who fought and or served and are serving to support and keep our rights and keep us safe. And that's what we need to do. We need to have as many veterans there as possible at the court court date on Friday the 8th. So I want to put a call out to all the veterans out there. You guys have done everything possible to ensure our safety, to ensure our security, and to keep us going, keep this country solid. And we all know that you're patriots. And this is a patriotic movement, if nothing else. It's not a party movement. It's a patriotic movement. If you're a patriot and you want to keep everything going and keep us all safe and secure and have rights and our votes count and all the other things that come with that and things that you served for and things that you fought for, please be there. Please rally everybody you know, carpool, get a busload of people, whatever it takes to get there. We'd love to have you there. And we need everybody else that isn't or hasn't served, do the same. You know, get there, carpool, call four friends, call two friends, call one friend, whatever it takes. Carpool, get everybody down there. We need as many bodies there to be counted so that they see what's really going on here in the territory of the Jefferson 21 counties that we have, the frustration that we're dealing with, and we want to make sure that we're doing it timely and doing it right. And we need to go off to Marty really quick from Corning. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have many questions about your lawsuit, but one specific question that hopefully you or Mr. Baird, if he's still listening, can address, it concerns the involvement of Michael C. Warnken in the drafting of your amended complaint. Both your attorney, Mr. Staffney, and by implication and direct allusion to Mr. Zerman, has acknowledged that Mr. Warnken has been actively involved in the drafting of your amended complaint, which is to be submitted, as I understand, in September. And I'm wondering if somebody could address the issue, particularly because, you know, Michael Warnken was, in fact, the pro se plaintiff in the lawsuit filed in 2008 and resolved in 2009 against Governor Schwarzenegger, which basically covered almost exactly the same grounds on which you are basing your suit. And that raises some issues about, you know, to me at least, as to exactly who is being represented in this lawsuit, whether it is in fact your group, the Citizens for Fair Representation, or whether or not this is a end run around the being made by the plaintiff in the previous suit to relitigate his case, and I'm wondering if you can address that issue.
Well, I think Mark can do that better than I. Mark, did you hear what he had
Mike
to say?
Mike Warnken is a paralegal, and he works for the attorneys in question, and the complaint was drafted by Scott Staffney.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm raising the issue of the fact that the plaintiff in the previous suit is now directly involved in drafting your amended complaint.
And well, as I just said, Scott Staffney drafted the complaint. Mike Warnken did not draft the complaint, so he did.
Mr. Staffney explicitly said in July on his own blog or website that Mr. Warnken was actively involved with both he and Mr. Zerman in drafting your amended complaint.
Mike Warnken is a paralegal that works for Gary Zerman and for Scott Staffney, and Scott Staffney drafted the complaint, and Scott Staffney did the research, and Mike Warnken, as a paralegal, assists in that research and does things that paralegals do, and I'm not privy to all of the privileges and immunities of a paralegal, so I don't know what exactly the limits on those things are. However, if you'd like to know the answer, sir, please let me finish. If you don't want to know the answer, then talk all you want, and you won't find anything out.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Scott Staffney drafted the complaint. He did a tremendous amount of research. The case law involved in the amended complaint is fantastic. I don't know whether you've read it. The complaint that Mike Warnken tried to submit several years ago was nothing like this complaint. And we hope to achieve something tremendous with this, which is representation in vastly smaller districts for all of Californians, so that every county in California will have no less than one representative in each house of government. That was nothing like what Michael Warnken tried to achieve, and as a pro se litigant in those days, having what Michael admits was very limited legal knowledge, he bit off a lot more than he could chew. This isn't the same complaint. It's nowhere near the same complaint, and Mike Warnken did not write it.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but to me that certainly doesn't resolve the issue, and that you may have ended up, you know, clouding the veracity or justicability of your own complaint by allowing Mr. Warnken to become
in what way?
So, what? There's an issue of what's called privity, which I think you may be familiar with, that extends between the knowledge of counsel and clients involved in previous cases which have been adjudicated. And by allowing Mr.
Warnken
himself,
wasn't adjudicated. There was never a published decision in Mike Warnken's case. It was dismissed, so it was never adjudicated.
Well, that's precisely the point. And in fact, the defense has raised the issue of the resolution of that case in Warnken versus Schwarzenegger as part of their defense.
Yeah, I know, and you can't use a case that was dismissed where there was no published decision as a citation of law. What the state's trying to do isn't supported by the law.
It involves the precedence of
I know what you're saying, but it is not supportable legally to use an unpublished dismissal as a citation of law.
I'd take exception to your characterization, but nonetheless, I appreciate your responding to my question, but I'm of the opinion that your court case is not at all that dissimilar to the case that was raised
as many famous people have once said, I disagree with what you say, but I would defend to the death your right to say it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Interesting. So I have a question. Where does Marty come in with the support on this? It doesn't sound like he does. But then also, what's the deal with whether Mr. Warnken has experience or knowledge on dealing with the court case and information regarding that? Wouldn't you want somebody that has a little bit of experience? That's why we hired the attorneys. And they have Michael helping out where he can, legally and ethically and morally. He's helping out.
Well, look at here. This is also germane to the topic. And you know, it's funny. The history of this is so long and complex that it's hard to explain this in 5 seconds on a radio show. But when we first started Jefferson, I met Mike Warnken in a restaurant many, many years ago. And he described to me the case that he attempted to bring and how it failed and why it failed and why he knew it failed, and those reasons are pretty easily explained. Mike was a law student at the time going through class. He attempted to bring a suit on his own behalf and on behalf of Californians, and he admitted he didn't have enough knowledge to do it. And there was a point in his lawsuit where he really needed some attorneys. He really needed some legal help, and he didn't get it. And so his case was dismissed, and he admits that it was, you know, his own fault, basically. And he also says that federal courts never appoint 3-judge panels for pro se litigants. They just don't ever take you seriously enough, and they can get rid of you just by dismissing. But here's the point with a case that's been dismissed. A case that's been dismissed has no precedent in law. It's a dismissal. That's it. There was nothing written. There was nothing decided. There was nothing opined. Nothing happened. The case was dismissed. Our case is only similar to Mike Warnken's in the allegation that Californians don't have representation in the state legislature. That's it. The depth of this case is incredible. The amount of research that went into the legal briefs is absolutely incredible, and I've been up at 2-3 in the morning and on the phone for 6-8-10 hours with the lawyers at a time, arguing, screaming, talking, reading. This is nothing like that, except the fundamental concept that Mike Warnken brought to me a long time ago when we were starting to expand the Jefferson notion, the 51st state notion. He said, you know, the reason you need Jefferson is you don't have any representation in the state of California. And I looked across the table at him and I said, well, duh. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out. And he says, well, if you don't get what you need in the legislature, I have a thought. And that's where the lawsuit, the idea for the lawsuit was born.
Okay, hey, and Mark, since you have that and you're right at the cusp of it here, we have a caller that I think people might want to hear from. And I'm,
okay.
And I think you'll want to hear what he has to say too, Mr. Staffney. Are you there?
I am.
And
hi
there. Now, can you tell us who you are and what you're doing with the CFR? And also, I just need to tell you, you only have 5 minutes, so we need to make sure we're watching the clock here.
Sure. I'm an attorney, and I wrote both the first complaint, the original one, and the amended complaint. Basically, since Warnken's suit was brought in 2009, a lot of things have changed with regard to right to vote. The court characterized Michael's place as a right to be represented, and I think to some extent that is fair analysis, but not a very good analysis of what we've done. So basically, Warnken's case under a recent Supreme Court decision, Shapiro versus McManus, is not even allowed to be considered for the purpose of a three-judge panel. The state of California does not cite any Supreme Court cases dealing with the right to vote or self-government since 2009. The only later case they decide is one based on the Second Amendment. And plus, I believe that the Attorney General misled the Superior Court when it indicated that the Supreme Court in Veith versus Jubilee held that these issues were not justiciable and involved a political question. Actually, what a majority of the Supreme Court held is that such issues are justiciable, and in fact, the Supreme Court is deciding a case that obviously it found justiciable this term out of Wisconsin. So the theories are totally different. I mean, you'd have to go back and look at a complaint drawn up by a pro se litigant who got the idea right. I mean, we all get the idea right. We all know that something is wrong, that we're not being represented. But unfortunately in our system, if you get a pro se litigant who doesn't know buzzwords and doesn't know all the theories, and you get a different complaint. For example, we are alleging numerous different theories, one based on the federal structure of our government, that it is not okay for California as a state to give the people a legislative oligarchy. And there's a question whether other people coming from other states that do involve representative republics are denied rights under substantive due process, which was something that was never raised by Michael. It's although, from what I can tell, he probably did raise denial of his own individual right to vote. The court reframed it, and the state of California, through the Attorney General, used a familiar attorney conduct principle to restate what he said, say, Judge, this is what he's arguing, when I don't think his complaint was arguing that. So this is not like Mike's case, and Michael has been helpful, but he certainly has not been advising our legal theories.
All right. Well, there's a lot there, and straight from the those who are in the trenches and those on the front lines. So if that answers Marty's question, I hope it does.
Okay, gentlemen, not to interrupt you here, Wynn, but we are in news time at the top of the hour. We wondered if Mark and Scott could hang over or hold over during the news for the top of the hour break here and come back on and finish up and recap.